Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Today's date, November 15th already. November 15th. Imagine that. 2011 AD, here in beautiful Alexandria, Virginia. Looking out of my window of my palatial villa at the Watergate Hotel just across the Potomac, and the bright city lights of Washington, D.C., Georgetown, all of that can be seen from right here, right now, as I look out the window. United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. You know, when I was a kid, when I was a child, I was raised with certain, I guess, you know, a lot of it came from my dad, too. I was raised to take responsibility. You know, the hallmark of a man in my home was being responsible. You answered for your failures. If you did something wrong, you owned up to it. If you made a mistake, you owned up to it. If there were errors in judgment made, that's okay. Just don't try to put those off on someone else. I was raised at a time when men were men. When men, young men even, were taught to take responsibility, be responsible. And if at times errors in judgment were made, own up to it. Own up to mistakes. I'm sorry. My mistake. I made that error. I'll correct it as best I can. I do apologize for making that mistake. The buck stops here. It's on me. My bad. We can even go with my bad. Own up to your mistakes. That's what being a man is all about. It's not about blaming someone else. It's not about blaming the weather, tsunamis, or any inanimate object. It's about saying, it's my job. It's my responsibility. And I take responsibility for what happens here and what happens here right now. So as I grew older, a little later joining the Marine Corps and becoming a young Marine, the more responsibility, first, even as a young private first class, to pawn off your responsibilities on someone else or to blame someone else for your failures was severely frowned upon. And it gets even worse as you move up in rank. A good way to end your career or have your career ended for you is to fail and then lay blame somewhere else. It wasn't my fault. I didn't do that. Someone else did that. It's not my fault. That's a good way to get yourself booted out of the Marine Corps, out of the Navy, the Air Force. It doesn't really matter. As a member of a Tea Party group and a patriot, I've watched for over several months, as the President of the United States behaves like a demagogue and places the blame for our nation's financial woes on everyone else, especially the Republican Party, but never himself, never taking responsibility. We've watched him make more speeches in the past few weeks than any other president has in a month. He shows just how out of touch he is from good old-fashioned American people. You know, the American people that he talks about so much. He, as a senator, voted against raising the debt ceiling. Yet now, here we are with him wanting to do it because it'll keep him out of keep his out of control spending. To not be seen as bad as it is. The blamer in chief has unusually blocked legislation and led the cause for blame. Instead of passing a budget and getting on with the business of governing, he seeks to lay blame on the weather, on Europe's issues, on the fact that we have a cold front coming in from the Northeast. Tell me, what man, least of all the leader of the free world, the President of the United States, would seek to lay blame anywhere else? He's the commander-in-chief. He's the President of the United States. How can he possibly lay blame on anyone else? I mean, when the buck stops with you, shouldn't the buck stop with you? When Obama's Keynesian economics agenda of hijacking nearly $1 trillion from U.S. taxpayers failed miserably, he blamed Bush. When his social justice agenda failed to improve the lower class condition, he blamed racism. When unemployment under his watch is at 9%, he blames CEOs, fat cats, bankers. He blames everyone except himself. Is he a man? What must his wife think of him when he doesn't take responsibility? You were voted in to office. You're the President of the United States, and yet you seek to lay blame everywhere, except with yourself. When our country's credit rating is lowered for the first time in history, because Obama failed to broker an effective solution, he blamed the Tea Party, then disillusionedly denied that it's been decreased at all. Everyone is to blame except the President of the United States. It's everybody's fault. Now, when Obama's incompetence has resulted in a dismal 38% approval rating, he blames Congress, the do-nothing Congress. Obama is not a leader. He is a finger-pointing, egomaniac in denial. Considering the left's best and brightest in the last two elections have been Al the Earth Has a Fever Gore and Barry It Ain't My Fault Obama, they might want to silence themselves when it comes to questioning the competence of other party candidates. Not that anyone expects the left to do what's advisable. Think about it. Obama is touted by the liberal media and liberals in general as being brilliant. He's a brilliant man. He's the smartest kid on the block. He's the smartest man in the room. President Obama is a genius. He's the smartest man I know. He's the smartest man in America. He's one of the brightest men in America. George Clooney said it. Well, who gives a damn what George Clooney thinks? George Clooney didn't even finish high school. So my dog, by comparison, is as smart as George Clooney is. But here's the thing. You're supposed to be a man. And I suppose I could go there. And I think I will. I think this is an issue where a strong mother and perhaps a strong father figure would have served President Obama better. Perhaps he wouldn't have grown up and become what passes for a man, and certainly a pseudo leader, and blamed anyone else. It's about values. It's about having a good value system. And it's about being a man, an adult. A man does not lay blame. Now, back when I was a kid, if you didn't take responsibility, even if it wasn't your fault, you were no man. Remember those times? We were raised as young men to take responsibility. We wanted it. And when things went bad, we didn't blame the other person and say, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. It didn't happen because of something I did. It wasn't my fault. How do you get away with being the president of the United States and not taking responsibility? Well, you don't. You know, if President Obama had just simply stood out and said, hey, you know what? I've tried some things. They really haven't worked out as well as I'd hoped. We're going to try a few new things, and we'll get this train back on track. The buck stops here. But instead, the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States of America right here and now will say, it's not my fault. I don't make mistakes. I don't do anything wrong. I don't make any errors. It's George Bush's fault. It's the fault of the weather. It's the fault of hurricanes, tsunamis, the British, all of Europe. It's Congress's fault. More specifically, it's Republican Congress that's at fault. Now, Harry Truman was down in the polls, as polls were back then, and in serious jeopardy of losing re-election to the office of the presidency of the United States, when he issued these famous words, and I quote, the buck stops here, end quote. All of a sudden, Americans took a better appreciation of Harry Truman. He wasn't such a moron and a dunce and a tyrant anymore. He took responsibility. His numbers skyrocketed. He was reelected or elected by a wide margin. Dewey didn't stand a chance. Nobody did. Because once a man takes responsibility, no matter what his failings are, there's respect. And there's trust. Oh, you know what? The mistake, maybe even the mistake isn't forgiven, perhaps. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But when a man takes ownership and takes responsibility, there's respect. It just comes with the territory. So one would think that if President Obama simply just took responsibility for the failures in the economic system and everywhere else, his poll numbers would go up. America would be behind him. He would most likely be a shoo-in for re-election. Does anyone agree? Does anyone not agree? The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Think about this. John F. Kennedy presided over the Bay of Pigs. An utter, dismal failure, which should have cost him his job. He should have been gone. It was a given. When you are a president and you preside over a disaster of such magnificent proportions, you can just kiss your career goodbye. You can kiss re-election goodbye. But take a listen to how John F. Kennedy, for all his flaws, responded to the debacle which we now know as the Bay of Pigs. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Take a listen, and we'll be right back.
There was the threat of new Soviet intervention in the Congo following the Lumumba assassination. There was the threat of a communist takeover in Laos. The Russians were on the threshold of putting the first man in space.
Each day, the crises multiply. Each day, their solution grows more difficult. Each day, we draw nearer the hour of maximum danger as weapons spread and hostile forces grow stronger. I feel I must inform the Congress that our analysis over the last 10 days make it clear that in each of the principal areas of crisis, the tide of events has been running out and time has not been our friend.
There's an old saying that victory has 100 fathers and defeat is an orphan. And I've said as much as I feel can be usefully said by me in regard to the events of the past few days. Further statements, detailed discussions are not to conceal responsibility because I'm the responsible officer of the government, but merely because and that is quite obvious. But merely because I do not believe that such a discussion would benefit us during the present difficult situation.
In June of 1961, President Kennedy, his national and personal prestige weakened by the Bay of Pigs, met a tough, seasoned Nikita Khrushchev. The meeting place was Vienna, but the flashpoint was Berlin. Khrushchev had vowed to eradicate the splinter from the heart of Europe. The president, in a July speech, called it an ultimatum, a choice between Holocaust and surrender.
All right, we're back with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. How hard was that for a man of John F. Kennedy's ego, for the President of the United States to take responsibility? How hard was it? It had to be very difficult because, in truth, it really wasn't his fault. He followed the direction of the generals whom he appointed. He followed members of his cabinet. He followed their advice. Seasoned men, men with gravitas, men who were supposed to know. Their jobs were to guide and direct President Kennedy to the end result for which he sought to achieve. He could have easily said, I relied on advice from my cabinet. That advice turned out not to be sound. And here we have the debacle. Instead, he took responsibility. The responsibility, and rightly so, was his. He made the ultimate call. He made the decisions. That's a man. John F. Kennedy was a man, and you know what? America forgave Kennedy for this debacle. It was very much soon forgotten in terms of how what America thought of him. Now, privately, Kennedy was seething. He vowed to splinter the CIA in 1,000 pieces and fire generals and admirals. Heads, he said, would roll. And Bobby Kennedy was talking about lining folks up for a firing squad. But for the American people, for the public, as a man, Kennedy took responsibility. That's what it's all about, folks. Taking responsibility, not blaming someone else. How would you look as a man at your job, making an error or a mistake, and then blaming someone else, saying, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do it. Take responsibility. Follow John F. Kennedy's lead and take responsibility. President Obama, you are not a leader. You are not a leader of men. You're not a leader of anyone. And it's unfortunate because at a time like this, that's what we really need. We need someone to come in and lead us. We need someone to take charge. And Beach Bum wrote in the chat room, Bobby Kennedy was ruthless, to say the least. Not at all like his public persona you often see on TV surrounded by the war protesters. Exactly. Beach Bum is exactly right. But the difference here with this president is he is a narcissist. Now, let me go here because I want to go there. When a man is the benefit of being raised in a two-family household with a strong mom and a strong dad is that you learn these things. You learn to take responsibility. If you don't already have those values just ingrained in your DNA, that's why you have parents. They teach you, don't tell on your brother and sister. Don't tattle. Take responsibility. You own this responsibility, take it. If it weren't for my dad and my mom, I probably never would have learned the true meaning of what being a man is all about. A lot of people say, hey, a single mother, she can raise a son and bring him up and bring him into manhood. Well, a lot of times, yeah, if she's a really strong woman and she's really tough on her boys, and she knows the ins and outs of how to raise a child, a son. What happened to President Obama? What happened to the guy who's supposed to be the president of the United States who does not take responsibility? He doesn't want it. Blaming. We're told there are lots of reasons for borrowing $5 trillion in the last 3 years. We're told there are lots of reasons for federalizing health care. We're told there are lots of reasons why all of this did not restore prosperity. The residents of George Orwell's Oceania daily screamed at the infamous vestige of arch enemy of the people, Emmanuel Goldstein. And in the same way, almost every week for the last 145, Americans have been reminded just how nefarious and lasting was the work of George W. Bush. Now ensconced somewhere in Texas, Bush in insidious ways is somehow still blocking our collective recovery. Wall Street likewise continues to comprise or conspire to thwart America's efforts. Fat cat bankers, millionaires and billionaires, people who fly in corporate jets, and those who don't pay their fair share, and who junket to Las Vegas or jet to the Super Bowl on the taxpayer dime, have all ignored the president's warning. Did they not hear that now is not the time for profit? That's what the president said. He said, now is not the time for profit. Did they not hear that I do think at a certain point you've made enough money? We have a caller on the line. Caller, you're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Hey, Doc, this is G-Ski Rocks. How you doing today?
G-Ski, my man, how you doing? Life is good, man.
I'm living and loving life. You know, I hate to repeat something that you already said, but I've been saying it a long time, and I'm sure all of your listeners have been saying the same thing. Yes, Obama is a narcissist. And, of course, he's never going to take the blame for all of this mess that we have that he has perpetuated. So, I mean, we have a fundamental problem. But also what we're dealing with is, sad to say, but the voting bloc of people, the majority of them, don't care. And if we're not careful, this dude's going to get reelected.
You're exactly right. You know, I'm not exactly sure what the end game here is for this president. All the cards seem to be stacked against him in terms of his bid for reelection to the presidency. How do you think this is going to play out? Right now, he doesn't seem to have – he's not holding any of the cards, except the fact that he's president of the United States. People are pretty much tuning him out now. He's made speech after speech after speech after speech after speech, and very little has changed. How do you see 2012 playing out in terms of the voting public?
Well, see, this is the problem. I've been running across a lot of people because I'm in an area that's dominated by liberals and Democrats. So I hear all of this, and they approach me all day, every day. And for the majority of the people, they're saying, well, Bush messed it up so bad that we have to give this guy another term so he's able to fix it, which is insanity. But that's what they're saying. So we have all of these people that although they see all of the destruction that this president has caused, they're like, let's give him another go round because President George W. Bush messed it up so bad. But what they don't know is if you go back and you look at Barack Obama's voting record, because like I've always said, this guy's never possessed any original thoughts. If you look back at his voting record, he voted more in favor of Bush policies than John McCain and some other high-ranking Democrats. And that's because he always waited to see which was the best side to stand on. But his voting record is more sinister. The way he has voted is more sinister to the American people than what people think. I mean, think about it. If you know, if you're saying that, let's just pretend for the argument that every George W. Bush policy was destructive, and you knew that, and you voted for it anyways, what's your intentions? Unless there's something inside of that bill that's going to benefit you and your state and stuff like that. That's a lot more sinister than not, you know, not knowing any better. Because everybody always said that George W. Bush was an idiot. So the policies that he put forward, he just didn't know any better, you know, because he's an idiot. He doesn't know how to run anything. He's an idiot. But you have Barack Obama that votes in favor of these things because there are pork barrel projects built into them for his particular state. So he's a lot more sinister than everybody else because he intentionally, you know, sold the country out to get something for his state, and his state is still suffering anyways.
Yeah, Illinois is suffering. It's like in the top two or three states that is suffering very badly. I think St. Louis is one, and then the other would be Detroit. In terms of economic instability, they're the top three from what I've gleaned. And you know, I thought I think a lot of people believe that once Obama became president, that Illinois would be squared away, and certainly that African Americans or Black people, as I prefer, that we'd be taken care of. I mean, I talked to my brother on and off this last few years, and he is so upset with President Obama. He voted for Obama, and he simply assumed, and these are his words, that Obama would take care of him, that he would have a job. Now, he's been unemployed on and off, and he is pissed because Obama did not get him a job. My brother, and Obama hadn't done anything. And he says Obama hadn't done anything for Black folks, but what he really means is Obama hadn't done anything for him specifically. But, you know, and I think that a lot of Black folks feel that way, but they're happy to have him in office because for some reason it lifts them up. And I just don't think, you know, I refuse to believe that even in this day and age in America, that Americans are going to keep allowing this guy to blame everyone else when he is the man in charge. When you're the man in charge, you take charge. You take responsibility for successes and for failures. He hasn't taken responsibility for anything. I have not once in his 3 years in office heard him say, the buck stops here, it's my responsibility, or any words to that effect. Have you?
No, I haven't. His vice president, Crazy Uncle Joe, they let him out the basement once, and he did say, you can blame it on us. But I think they locked him back up in the basement after he said that.
Yeah, we didn't hear any more. We didn't hear any more of that. You know, Joe is famous for saying some stuff that he shouldn't say. And, you know, you probably don't remember this, but Joe Biden ran for president once back in the 80s. And he had a little bit of a scandal where it was discovered that he had plagiarized almost all of his thesis and half of a book that he wrote, nearly half of it, and that most of the writings and books and articles that he said he wrote that were published were written by somebody else. Or he plagiarized writings from other folks, and his candidacy quickly fizzled, and he was pretty much done. You probably don't remember that. A lot of people don't, but I'm old enough. I'm at the point in my life where I can say I'm old enough to remember these things. That is really sad. But, yeah. Do you remember that?
I do. I do remember that.
You're 10 years old, man. Come on. Okay. All right. Well, I tell you, I just, you know, it goes, for me, this show is about taking responsibility and how the president simply does not do that and why Americans continue to give him a pass. And I just don't see why that is the case. Even in this day and age, when Americans simply don't want to take responsibility. Whoever green bastard is in the chat room just told me to settle down. I don't know what that means, but I'll do my best to settle down. Anyway, if you have anything more to add, go right ahead. If not, man, I do appreciate the call.
I'm good, man. You can put me on mute, and I'm going to listen to the rest of your great, great, awesome show. You're doing a great job, Doc.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you so much. It's great having you. G-Ski Rocks has a show on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll be on tonight, right? Right after me?
No, that's Dave is on tonight.
Dave, all right, okay. So Dave is on. David Graham, the author of Stay Mad, is on tonight right after me. So please, guys, please go in and listen to his show. He is hilarious, and that laugh he's got is infectious. I just laugh whenever he's laughing, simply because he's laughing. And I told him the other day, most of the stuff you say is not even funny. It's corny as hell. But I can't help but laugh because you're laughing, and your laugh is his laugh is funny. And the fact that he's having such a good time is hilarious to me. I don't know why. I hope it is to other people, too. Well, thanks, G-Ski. You know, hey, man, great show as well, both you and Dave. And who is the captain? Is there somebody else doing the show with you?
Yeah,
guys?
Yeah. That's my co-host. That is the captain. He is a Civil War reenactor or historian, he likes to be called. He's an awesome guy. Awesome guy.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Sounds like it. Hey, man. Thanks again. And we'll get back. To the rest of the show here and wrap it up pretty soon. All right.
Thanks,
guys. You're welcome. All right. That was G-Ski. G-Ski Rocks. He's got a great show on Blog Talk Radio, and he does a show with Dave. Hey, we're gonna go ahead and take a short break, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500.
If you haven't been listening to Socialism Is Not an Option, then you're just another lapdog. And here's why.
Let's get together this weekend. Hello, I'm Tesla.
Anyway, your call-in number is 917-388-4970. We have been listening to Annie from Southern Sense, who's given us some of the benefit of her wit and wisdom.
Socialism is not an option. The roundtable roundup edition, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
Spend your weekends with Socialism Is Not an Option.
David from Stay Mad Radio.
I call in and I wanted to weigh in on the title of Bag.
Man, your show is right on point, and it's something I wanted to talk about for a little bit for a while now.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Socialism is not an option. I'm your host, Hessler. You're listening to the American Exceptionalism Edition. And we do have a fantastic show for you today. It's really a good one. It's part two. It's Not Your Daddy's War. Welcome to Socialism Is Not an Option, the Hot Topic Edition. I'm your host, Kessler.
The entire political process offends me, so.
Very, very interesting, folks. Another call on the line, and it looks like we've got Tony. Tony, is that you?
That's me, baby. I'm just looking at your showroom in absolute amazement.
We were there. I mean, we saw the bullshit that occurred back in the 60s. Man, I feel like I'm going back in time. Don't you feel that way?
Has been co-opted by all the leftover washout hippies of your generation.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. And their kids
have pretty much taken
it
over.
You are old.
Yes.
Spend your weekends with Socialism Is Not an Option.
Excellence in Broadcasting presents Liberals of Genius.
Liberals of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. President of the United States.
President of the United States.
You single-handedly managed to choke all the life out of the world's greatest economy in record time.
10% unemployment.
No one else could have apologized more, spent more, or built a rat maze healthcare system from hell that only the IRS could love.
What were you thinking?
Thanks to you, FDR will be known as a conservative, Carter will look presidential, and Joseph Stalin won't seem like such a bad guy.
Joe was misunderstood.
So crack open a good book, sit on your butt, and help your buddies with a snowball's chance in November.
Mr. President, the one we weren't waiting for.
What college do you dream of sending your kids to? Yale, Harvard, Princeton.
Forget it. Those are the universities of yesteryear. The school of the future is COC.
Community Organizer College.
I'm a graduate, and I just took control of General Motors. And now I'm thinking of taking over Chrysler, too. Maybe. Or selling it to an Italian bicycle company, I think.
Want your kids to run a giant company? Or even an entire industry, like healthcare, banking, or insurance? Enroll him or her at COC, Community Organizer College.
You want your darlings to have trillions of dollars of money to spread around? Apply to Community Organizer College. Our teachings are based on a major breakthrough in education. It's not what you know, it's what people think you know.
At COC, Community Organizer College, we don't waste time teaching English, history, math, science, or business management.
We teach cool. We teach pompous. We teach teleprompter, devil speak, seducing the media.
Community Organizer College.
Where your kids can learn to run a company or a country. Who knows? Maybe the entire planet.
Community Organizer College. Capacity is limited. Better act now. For an application, dial 1-800-ACORN-COC.
It's not what you know. It's what people think you know.
Having trouble paying your mortgage and don't know what to do? Introducing the all-new Freddie Mac Fannie Mae, where government lending just got easier.
Hello, I'm Barney Frank. In the past, did someone entice you to borrow too much money? Trick you into living above your means? Force you to lie about your income in order to get a loan? At the all-new Freddie Mac Fannie Mae, we don't care what you did or what you do. You deserve the American dream of home ownership.
And now, with our all-new free market loan program, you'll never, ever be able to get a mortgage you can't pay back. We'll pay it for you, for free.
The government got us into this mess, and the government will get us out.
The all-new Freddie Mac Fannie Mae, where paying back your mortgage just got a whole lot easier.
I remember that.
I know a place that you can go. Oh, get your house and use it. Go ahead, abuse it. You can do anything. Go out and have a fling. I am the banking queen. Oh, the sweet dead and good I see. You can sell, you
when the manager needed. You and I, we were beaten while the stocks were cheap. That doesn't mean a thing.
Oh, my God, the banking queen. Okay, guys, I wanted to go ahead and play that whole thing. I find it to be hilarious, but I can't. I just can't. Now, the spots that you heard, the parodies that you heard, are from my main man. I'll throw his name out there. I'm going to drop it because I know the guy, and I wanted everybody to know I know him because he's so cool. Paul Shanklin, he has been providing Rush Limbaugh, my man and yours, with these parodies for the last 20 years. Since 1988. And so if you want some parodies for your own show, I got a bunch of them. I can give them to you, or you can go to Paul Shanklin's website and purchase the DVDs. I mean, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh and you listen to his the Obama parodies or Clinton parodies, you know they're hilarious. Get yourself some, play them on your shows. They are just really cool. I don't know if you like them as much as I do, but then again, I've been listening to Rush since 1988. So, and I've been listening to these parodies for a long time. Well, back to what's going down. You know, the OWS is planning to escalate matters. Zizki, in 1988, you were 9 years old. Okay. OWS plans to escalate in New York and other places. Zizki says he's been listening to Rush, and I dig it. Rush Limbaugh is the Mac of all daddies next to me. But, hey, listen, the gloves are coming off tomorrow. It's all going to go down. Now, there have been three people who have watched Rush Limbaugh's TV show. That's me, G-Ski, and Rush Limbaugh. Oh, my goodness. Let me just get off topic for a moment. I watched the Rush Limbaugh TV show. I attended Rush to Excellence tours. Yes, I did. Whenever I could, I attended Rush to Excellence tours. I have in a complete collection of Obama's No Boundaries ties. Can anybody top that? I've got all four of Rush's books. I got all of the ties, every single one, and some of them are not very attractive. But hey, let's move on away from my main man, Rush. Listen, OWS has carefully planned a number of direct actions starting tomorrow to create organized mayhem. That's what they're calling. We're talking about riots, burnings, occupy the subways at rush hour, the court system, all of it, starting tomorrow. Oh, don't forget the destruction of private property, pissing and crapping all over anything they can think of, taking a dump wherever they feel like it, raping or sexually assaulting a woman here or there, stealing from stores, demanding free food, demanding to use public restrooms without purchasing anything. All of that is supposed to start tomorrow again. Oh, don't forget the occasional crapping on squad cars and slashing police officers and burning down storefronts. This was supposed to be the peace movement. We're supposed to be getting on the peace train. Remember the 60s when the 60s radicals, well, aside from the Manson family, all they really wanted to do was share a little peace and a little love? Remember those days? It was about peace and love and, you know, put some flowers in your hair. Are you going to Scarborough Fair? I mean, it was all about, now it's not about love or any such thing. It's about how we can bring America down to its knees. So pretty much what we have here is the OWS in reverse of the 60s radical peace movement. Remember the famous picture of the National Guard pointing guns at the peace protesters, the Vietnam War protesters, and the young hippie putting a flower inside the gun barrel? Does anybody remember that? What happened to those folks? They have grown up to become severely radical. And now they have children. And now those children are believing that they're entitled to anything they want. It's the peace movement from the 60s gone nuclear. It's a serious error in judgment, I think. So tomorrow, let's keep an eye out on Fox News, Fair and Balanced. That's where I go. And let's watch and see how it's all going to go down tomorrow. Now, remember that our exalted leader, His Royal Highness President Barack Obama, has endorsed these folks. So tomorrow, it's going to be ground zero. Thank you for listening, G-Ski. So now, we're going to get on the peace train before it's too late. Because we got a serious problem coming up, folks. Tomorrow, it's all going to go down. And New York is going to burn. And Mayor Bloomberg, who have been kissing those protesters' asses all this month, well, he's going to have to crack down. Yeah. You have to get on the peace train, folks. Tomorrow, Fox News, Fair and Balanced. Thinking about good things to come. We're going to see a mess. I want to thank you all for listening to the Steve Robert Jones Situation Report. Oh, my God. You guys are great. Beach Bum, thanks for being here. John Galt, everybody, Tesla, have a good night, folks. Tomorrow, Ground Zero, New York City, Wall Street. Love you guys. Good night. God bless America. Let's get on the peace train. Good night, folks.
Why don't you sit back, relax, and tune in your radio, friends. On a sunshiny day in the nation's capital, we're going to take you down to WWVO, Seagram's, West Virginia, for some country picking and singing.
Well, bless your pea-picking hearts out there in Radio Land. Time to get together. How y'all doing out there? All you truck drivers along the line. And we're going to be with you for the next 14 hours of continuous country music picking and singing from our country music capital of the world, WWVO in Seagram, West Virginia. This is Pete Warrior, your country drink a night out. Here's my brother, Noah. Say hi to folks out there, Noah.
Folks out there in Radio Land, bless your hearts, livers, adenoids, and everything goes lump in the night. We're just so proud to be here and love every one of you. Want to say hello to Minnie Hawkins, who's listening tonight up on the mountain.
Minnie's with us again.
Well, no, she's not with us, but she's listening.
Oh, okay.
Just engineered to cool it on the music.
We love everyone.
Come here. Well, friends, let's tell them all about the sponsors we have on the show, because we just know that our people that listen every day to us love to hear the clients are fools enough to spend their money.
That's right.
Thank you.
have it for their very own. With our brothers we will share all the secrets of our mountain, all the riches.